The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leopards approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Paul says to us this morning, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth." Please be seated. It occurred to me that that line actually describes who we are as the righteous community, which we spoke about last week. But today, I want to ask a few questions about gratitude. How do we get to that kind of gratitude that takes us to places we didn't know existed? Those places where the wings of the Holy Spirit are beating all around us. Those places where the peace of God truly does surpass our understanding, and then suddenly the yoke is lifted off our shoulders. Those places where we discover the vision that will take us forward out of the place where we have been stuck. Those places where we were lost, and suddenly, in a heartbeat, we knew that we had been found. Our annual appeal season is upon us, and many of those feelings of gratitude start coming up, and we are reminded of them. But it's also a season of the harvest, and we celebrated that last night at the first Celtic service of the season. This is the season where the leaves let go, jump off the trees, and God's creatures going into their long Sabbath rest. The season of Thanksgiving will actually be on us before we know it, when we become pilgrims, perhaps seeking a new understanding of home. It is a season of change and choice. And this morning we hear 10 men cry out. Notice that they weren't called 10 men, they were called lepers. But 10 men cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Mercy is one of those words of our faith, like righteousness, that we aren't really sure what it means, but somehow we recognize it immediately when it shows up in our lives. And I wonder, what did those 10 men expect? They hadn't asked to be cured. They'd simply asked for mercy. And Jesus told them to go back to their priests. He didn't tell them they were healed. They were probably hoping for perhaps some compassionate, maybe a kind word of encouragement. They probably had heard of Jesus and his generosity to those in need. And mercy encompasses all those responses. Being sent to the priests, that was what you did when you had been healed. And then you could, once you presented yourself to the priests, you were accepted back into their communities. And I wonder, how high were their hopes? if they even had hopes. As they started on their way toward the priests, filled with their probably own doubts and fears. What happened to those 10 men was a total transformation, not only of their bodies, but their entire lives. Their entire lives. Imagine that. And it would change the way they were included in every gathering of people that presented themselves to, and even into their families. And we know that one of them, at least, was a Samaritan. And my guess is that the diversity of the remainder of the group was profound. Because for them, where they came from, what they believed, who were their friends or enemies, no longer mattered as much as finding a group of people that accepted them and their struggle. People who understood their challenges in the world. Clearly, they were not wealthy, powerful, or privileged as Naaman was in our Hebrew scripture. And yet notice that it took a servant girl to point out the simple truth that would open Naaman's eyes. You would hope that his life too was transformed and that gratitude might surface to save him from himself. But only one responded with gratitude. And it began in a moment of astounding recognition. That moment of recognition that he had been healed, that his skin was clean. And his response in that instance was not to run toward the priests, but to turn back, return to the only one that he knew might have been responsible for that. And Jesus was there waiting for him. And he threw himself onto the ground in front of him. This is indeed a sign of praise in that first century, to prostrate yourself in front of the one, Holy One. It was indeed praise. In our time, that moment might be followed by a flood of tears that overcome us, or maybe the need to hold somebody's hand or give a hug, get a hug. It might be that we make a beeline for church or some other holy space where we knew that we had encountered God. To be able to sit in a silent stillness and listen until the words of gratitude bubbled up and flowed from our mouths. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And in that moment, you are the one giving mercy and thanksgiving in return. Just as the man healed was doing with Jesus. Jesus had not just given them mercy, but salvation, freedom from a life of cruelty. And Jesus wonders, where are the rest? Jesus knows the power of thanksgiving and gratitude in his own life, and also this amazing gratitude for all that God has given in him. And Jesus then tells the man, this grateful man, the simple truth. Rise and go. Your faith has saved you. That probably is the most extravagant generosity of this entire story. He sends him forth to share the good news with others. Perhaps he will find his 9 friends. But what is certain is he will never take this moment and his new life for granted. Praise and thanksgiving will bless him all the days of his life, no matter what. And I think that's important because sometimes we take things for granted. We take this home or our life that somehow we believe that we earned rather than were given. But here, each Sunday, we are invited into the ritual of gratitude that the man cured from leprosy went through in that story. We become aware of our need to spend time with God in community. We recognize what a blessing this place is, and the people here around us are, all of us together, are a blessing to each other. And we make a choice to get up and come to church. We turn away from our everyday lives. We make time and return to a place where we know we are made whole and our hearts are renewed. We stand together and we give praise, sometimes even on our knees. It's one of the reasons when we do the Gloria or the Song of Praise that I turn around and face the cross with you. We are all on equal ground there together, praising God. And we listen to God's word that it might guide us during the rest of our week. We pay attention. We pray and ask for mercy and forgiveness in this service. And then we enter into our great thanksgiving. And the great thanksgiving, no matter what Eucharistic prayer we use, quite frankly, all the words are in thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. We offer our money, we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, is the way one of our Eucharistic prayers puts it. And we offer it all to God, just as the man healed offered himself to Jesus. And then, at the end of our service, we are told to rise and go, to go forth to share good news with everyone we meet, just as Jesus sent the grateful man, healed, back into his new life to share his story of generosity and gratitude with others. Notice that Jesus didn't try to convert him to Judaism. He sent him back to his own world and his own life, full of beliefs. Quite frankly, the Samaritans were a break-off group from the Hebrews. Their beliefs were not that different from all the Hebrew people. Most probably couldn't even remember, it had been going on so long, why they were all supposed to hate each other. But Jesus knows the power of reconciliation that is shared through storytelling of our real experiences of mercy and grace. He knows it is the only way to bring people together out of their divisions. I have to say, we had at the 9 o'clock adult formation group, we had an amazing discussion this morning, sharing our holy moments. And it was that kind of thing that just instantly pulled us together as a group of diverse, different people with different beliefs. But in the midst of us was this place of holy gratitude for each one of the stories we heard. And I truly think that if Jesus was preaching today, he would say to us, go and do likewise. And at the end of our service, the very last thing, you hear Deacon Eric say, go forth in the name of Christ. And your response is? Let's all try that again. Go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. That should be on our lips always. Amen.